Heavenly Father, we bless the holy name this morning. We praise you for your grace, for your mercy, for your faithfulness, Lord. For all that thou art, O Father, to us as a creator, as a father, as a Lord and a Savior, and most of all, Father, we want to thank you for being a part of you, being children of the one and true living God. We thank you, Father, Lord, even as we stand here this morning. I tremble, Lord, just to think about the great work you have done in bringing this whole heaven and earth into existence, and to put man on this earth and let things happen according, O Lord, to your will. That the end result, Father, that you will bring forth a family. A family to be by your side. Sons and daughters. Your sons and your daughters. To be able to sit with you, Father, and to fellowship with you. And to worship you, Lord. To be loved by you and to love you. Lord, I stand in awe, Father. Of the thing you have done, and to give us a revelation to see all these things. What a privilege, Lord, we are. We won't be here this morning, Father, if it's not for you, and to recognize, to know you. Once we were lost in sin, going about our own ways, you sent a shepherd to call, to look for us, search out for us. Among them, millions and millions of people scattered throughout this planet Earth. And I thank you, Father, for this love, for this blessing, for this gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing now, Father, as we sit at your feet now. Break the word, Father, and help us to understand, see further the importance of your word. And after having learned all that you have shown us, Father, help us to examine ourselves what manner of man we ought to be. Whether we spread forth the love of God in our hearts, whether we are falling in love with you more and more, that this love of yours, Father, will reach out to our loved ones, our friends, and anyone, Father, that we may meet along the way in this pilgrimage, that the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified. So, Father, I commit this day to you right now, Lord, for your blessing. In thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Now today we want to continue with the feast of Job. We are going to touch on the next feast, which is the fourth feast, the feast of Pentecost. But before we do, I want to detail a little bit about the offerings and the sacrifices, the thing that were done by the children of Israel, and what those sacrifices mean. Alright? So if you will, let's just look at the chart and remember this chart. And I hope that you'll just put that in your mind. One other thing I need to let you know is that we have to look at this chart together with the calendar so that you may have an idea. Because God fulfilled all these feasts according to His own time. That's why the children of Israel must keep those feasts according to the day, alright, and the month that God gave them. So now we know that we have seven feasts and we are now in the fourth feast, which is the feast of Pentecost. And you notice that the first four feasts, they are in the first month and the third month. That is to say, the first half of the calendar. Now, Israel's calendar is divided into two halves. The first 6 months and the second 6 months. So the first four feasts, they are all fulfilled in the first 6 months. And the last three will be fulfilled in the second half of the calendar. Now let us look at that calendar. Israel's calendar is divided into two halves. The first 6 months and the second 6 months. And you notice that the first 6 months is actually their religious period, or the first half of the year. The second are the civic, or the nation of Israel as a nation, physical, all right, or the civil side of it. So it started the first month, and you know the feast are held in the first month and the third month, which is only Pentecost. Now, the second half of the calendar, which is begin with the seventh month, also they have activities, as you would know, and nothing else for the rest of the year. So you always start with the first month and the seventh. Now in the first month, as you know, we already have that on the 14th day of Abib, on Nisan, okay, begin the Passover. So the 14th of Nisan is known as the day of preparation. And sometimes they call it the Passover day. Because in the evening of that particular day, they will take the Passover. Which also happened to begin the 15th. Alright? But because of reckoning, they said the 14th, or the day of preparation. That was the day they called the day of preparation. And that 15th, of course, begins the unleavened bread. Okay? And the unleavened bread will continue for 7 days. From the 15th to the 21st. 7 days. And then after the 7th day, following 22nd, becomes also a Sabbath. And it also becomes a holy convocation. Now, on the 16th of Nisan, we know the 14th the Passover, 15th the Sabbath, 16th is the feast of first fruit. Alright? So 14, 15, 16 are always together. Those 3 days are connected. The day when Jesus fulfilled the Passover as a Passover lamb. Okay? As the one who is the unleavened bread, whose body is broken for you and for me. Do you understand? Okay, and also that He is the one who is the Sabbath, who rests. Alright? And then He resurrected, conquering death on the 16th of Nisan here, which is the first fruit. So He is the firstborn among many brethren, the first fruit. Okay, so you can remember this. Now we are coming to Pentecost, which is the fifth of Sivan. So if we will, let's go and look at the chart. Go back to the chart again, and we'll look at the chart. Now if you look at the chart, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit. And we know, as we already studied, in the Old Testament when God instituted this, there were the sprinkling of blood on the lintel and the doorposts. And the family in the house, in the home, will eat of the Passover lamb in that very night. And that Passover lamb, of course, represents the Lord's death. He is the Lamb of God. Alright? So now, following that, the Easter evening, while they're eating the Passover lamb, they were to eat whatever is on the table is unleavened. Okay? And so we have the unleavened bread, which is the feast that began on the night when they partook the Passover. And then it also shows us that the unleavened bread is where we have the communion of the saints, when Christ took the cup and the bread and instituted that covenant. Not the bread, but the cup. Okay, which is in his blood. And then the first fruit, because Christ, the Lord resurrected on the day following the Sabbath. And the children of Israel were told that when they enter into the promised land, they were to take a sheaf of the first fruit of the harvest and wave before God, representing the resurrection, representing what we call the resurrection of Christ, as well as the first fruit of all that which is in the harvest will be taken out, the children of God. Alright, and so it represents the Lord's resurrection. Now there is a space of 49 days between the first fruit to Pentecost. Alright, so with that in mind, look at the calendar and we will read as well Leviticus chapter 23. Now, if you look at the calendar, you should be able to, when we read what the scriptures say. The Bible said, counting the day, the morrow after the Sabbath, coming from here. Alright, when we read later on, it says that seventh Sabbath will have transpired. So from here, counting the day after the Sabbath, 16, you count it here, 7 is one week, is that right? 22nd will be the first Sabbath. Then the next one, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. 7 times 7 is 49. Okay, so there will be 7 Sabbath complete. And it's 49 days. And the day after that will be the 50th day. And it's landed on the 5th of Sivan. So 5th of Sivan, as you know, ultimately becomes Sunday. If you take it into the account of the Gregorian calendar. You understand? So there is a Sabbath, there was then this Sabbath of 24 hours. And that Pentecost is also a Sabbath, another 24 hours. So we have a Sabbath of 48 hours long. Because now, why is that so? Because there is a change of order. Christ has fulfilled everything in the Old Testament concerning the Passover, concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the first fruit. Do you understand? And now, having resurrected, he's coming back on Pentecost, so he begins something new. That's why the night before he passed away, he took the cup and instituted a new covenant. So the old thing must pass away. So what happened? He ended with the Sabbath on the 4th of Sivan, which is the rotation as usual. Okay, 7 days you work, 6 days you work, and the seventh is your Sabbath. So now, the day after the 49th day, which is the Sabbath, is the 50th day. It must be a working day. But God changed the whole order. Rest, because I give you this extra day, the 8th rest. 7 times 7 is 49. 7 is a number of perfection. Is that right? So now I give you another rest, another day of rest, which is the 8th. Immediately. So the old is passed away, the new comes in. So we are now in Pentecost. We are now in the rest of God. Okay, so let us read the book of Leviticus 23. I hope that you now remember what you see in the calendar and the chart, have the picture, so we don't have to keep on looking at it. Now, on this feast of Pentecost, as I said, we are going to go back a little bit to look at the various type of offering so that we sort of understand it. Okay, you will take 2 sessions on this. Leviticus 23. Now, okay, let us read this whole chapter and then we just recollect. Alright. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, always remember it is the feast of the Lord. It's not the children of Israel's feast. It is not our feast. It is God's feast. Now, for example, when he said the feast of the Lord, or we said, for example, oh, John, you want to celebrate something, then you create a feast for us. So it is John's feast. Now let's go to John's feast. You understand what I'm saying? It is not our feast. John is the one who's created that. So we go to John's feast. So this is God's feast. God bring forth this feast so that he could have a time with you and me. But at that time when he gives to Israel, is to have a time with Israel, to make them to understand that I want to have you as a family. I want to have you to fellowship with me and enjoy my life. Of course, people create feasts. I mean, John, if Brother John is going to create a feast, he must have reason, right? Correct now? Maybe you are just so happy, you know, you got a big bonus from your company or something, and say, okay, let me have a feast. Everyone enjoy, happy to have happiness with you, to join, you know, to enjoy this blessing with you. So, God wants to have his people to have a blessing with him. So now he said, this is the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, holy days. Even these are my feasts. 6 days shall you work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. It's a Sabbath of rest. It's not a Sabbath day. It's just a Sabbath of rest. That's the seventh. Okay? Alright. A holy convocation. You do not do work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. The Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So that is one of the things about people keeping Sabbath in the day of Israel. The day when they work 6 days, 7 days, they know this is the Lord's day, the Lord. They know that God wants them to rest and have a little time with him. Huh? And so when Jesus came, when he went out preaching, and then he asked the disciples, come aside, rest a while. You know, he would take rest. Because with the crowd, of course, you know, it's too big. And, you know, everybody's there. But sometimes just with a few, just relax. That is one of the most important to take away. Sometimes that's so when you're busy doing your work in the office, you come home, you're poop, you're tired. Huh? And maybe housewife, cook, everything, have to cook for my husband, cook for my children, all of them, maybe you're just all tired up. No, steal away. Spend your time with the Lord. Okay? That's one of the things we do. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy days, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, in the 14th day of the first month, and even is the Lord's Passover. Okay, we know that. And on the 15th day of the same day, month, is the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. 7 days. Okay, no junk food. Okay? That's very important. 7 days, as I already said, 7 days, 7 church ages, 7 period. We are all supposed to eat unleavened bread, healthy food, the word of God, not leavening. Okay? Remember this leavening. Okay, we'll come to that later. And 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7. In the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. That is on the 15th of Nisan. That is a Sabbath. You shall do no sabawa, means no laboring work. Now, that's what the Bible says. No sabawa means no laboring work. But it doesn't mean that you cannot cook a meal and dish up on the pot and eat. No, it doesn't mean that. But today people have that assumption all this while. No servile work should be done. No laboring work should be done. That's the reason why Jesus Christ, when he was healing the sick on the Sunday, on the Sabbath day, they complained. And people are full of complaint. And then Jesus says that when you have a buffalo or a bullock in the ditch, you go and take it out. And I do good work by healing and you complain. What is this? Okay. Let's go on. And we have verse... But you shall offer the offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. That means that during those 7 days of the unleavened bread, every day they must do a daily sacrifice to God. Alright? Bible here didn't detail how many sacrifices. Some say it's in the morning they have one, morning of sacrifice and evening oblation. Okay? Then later on, if you remember the study of the tribulation, where the Antichrist took away that offering, the sacrifice and oblation. Yeah, that's what they do every day, sacrifice. All right. They say that, verse 8, you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day also is a holy convocation. You shall do no sobhavan therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. When you shall bring a sheaf, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit. It didn't say sheaves. It said a sheaf. Okay, only one. Okay, from the harvest out there. Take one and wave it. Alright? And bring unto the priest. Then verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. The word Lord here is Yahweh, right? It's capital letter, huh? To be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, which is the 16th of Nisan, which is we happen to be a Sunday. Okay? And you shall offer that, verse 11, and he shall wear the sheaf after the, before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wear it. And you shall offer that day, when you wear the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish of the first year for the burnt offering unto the Lord. So, on the 16th, remember the 15th start the 5th of unleavened bread. For 6-7 days, offering. There must be a burnt offering. But on the 16th, there is this wave offering that they will bring before the Lord. Wave added to them. But just not waving before the Lord, they must bring in this other offering. And then the first one is this. Verse 12. And you shall offer that day, when you wear the sheep, a he lamb without blemish of the first year, for the burnt offering unto the Lord. A burnt offering. A he lamb, not a she lamb. Because every time you sacrifice an animal that represents the Lord Jesus Christ, is all male. Okay? A he lamb or a ram, has the Bible something like, have you acquired the other animal? Or a bullock, not a cow. A cow is a female one, right? So they call it a bullock. Okay. They represent different things regarding the Lord. Like a bullock represents strength and things like that. Okay. And this is to be burned and burnt offering. Okay. And the meat offering, which is, I tell you that it's not meat as in meat. Meat as in meal, grain. There's a bad translation in King James. Okay. And the meal offering shall be 2 10 deals of fire flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour, and a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. Now, the meal offering shall be 2 10 deals of fine flour. Now, this flour is taken from first fruit of the field. Remember, they cannot eat anything until when they enter. That the first thing they do, they cannot eat anything until they take a sheaf from the harvest field of the first crop and wave it for the Lord. Okay, then all the other grain they will grind it into fine flour to make this wave offering that is to be burnt. So he says here, recap here. And the meal offering therefore shall be 2 10 deals. Two 10 deals. Now you wonder, you know what a 10 is? 10% tithe. But here is 2 10 deals. A fine flour grind. Okay, not just, you know, 10 deals, but just 2 10. That means 2 portions. Mingle with what? Mingle with oil. And it is to be made by fire unto the Lord. That means it is to be burned on the altar, like the he ram lamb is to be burned. So you know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering means the whole thing has to be consumed, huh? Okay, so this love is also to be burned by fire unto the Lord for the sweet savour, and the drink offering therefore shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. Now, let me just use this board and give you a pattern. Okay. We have sin often. Alright. You know what a sin offering represents. Sin offering always represents Jesus Christ as the sin bearer. Okay? Alright. So the next one we have is burnt offering. Burnt offering. Burnt offering, of course, is to be completely burned. And when you talk about burnt offering, it means surrendering completely to the will of God. So if you offer yourself as a burnt offering, but you know what, during the Dark Ages, you know, a lot of Christians were taken and, you know, and they were told to recant from their religion of what they believe in Jesus, that they must bow down to the Roman Catholic dogmas. Alright? And many of them refuse. They are willing to be sacrificed. And you know they go to the stake and be burned. So they offer themselves as a burnt offering. After all, Christ died for you. I mean, died for me, so I died for Christ. I'm willing. So to God, it becomes a sweet scent, smelling savor. So whenever you talk about a burnt offering, it's something nice to God. A sin offering is not. You understand? It just shows somebody has to die. Not a good thing. But when you're willing to sacrifice, and that's why Christ, when you talk about burnt offering, Christ was willing to give himself. To God, it is. But a sin offering to God, it seems that, as the Bible says, my Lord, what have thou forsaken me? You know what I mean? Because God cannot look down upon the sin. But burnt offering, you're willing to surrender your life, yes, become a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. So the next one is peace offering. Peace offering, wow. You know the word peace. From that you should know what peace offering means. So yeah, if you ever have a problem, any brother or sisters, go and offer a peace offering. You know what I mean? Hey, come on, I'm coming for a peace offering. You know, what the great Indian in America said, peace pipe. They smoke peace pipe. You know what I mean? You know how they do those things. It's a custom. So the peace offering, it represents all this, all represents Christ in something. So peace offering is the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to offer himself so that you and I can make peace with God. You get it? So that's one thing about what the Bible says. If you have offend a brother, and you know you have offend a brother, what does the Bible tell you to do? Now, don't bring a gift to the altar first. If you want to just leave it there, go and make peace with the brother. Then you will be a sweet smelling savor to God. Then you are willing to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry, I've done wrong things to you. But if you don't, then you're proud. Then there's no way for reconciliation. God will look at that as something filthy to his sight, as far as, you know, God is concerned. Because what your pride is, God hates pride. That's what happened to Lucifer. So that I can be worshipped like God is worshipped. I'm on my throne on the north side, huh? You see. So, peace offering is, through Jesus that we can have reconciliation with God. We can have peace with God. Now you know one thing, without Jesus' death, how do you find peace with God? Whenever you have done something wrong, whenever something troubles you or something that you've done crazy thing about it, and you know it troubles you, your conscience troubles you, you know what I mean? And you know that the only way to have peace is to go back to the cross. Because it is in the cross that we have connection with God. Huh? Alright? And the next one is the meal offering. Okay, meal offering. Alright, so what is this meal? This meal offering is the grain. Alright? That is grounded. It's grounded, right? Into fine flour. Not coarse flour, fine. So what? Is it called grounded? Ground. No, grounded. It's electrical wire being grounded. So the fiber is ground fine, very fine. The grain is made fine. So, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he went through all this to come to this stage. Because he has been through trials. Okay, from the time he was born, he grew up, he learned, as the Bible says, he learned found favor with God and man, increased in wisdom. Alright? So his life became like grain is being ground into fine flour. Under pressure, it's being, pounded, so to speak. You see? So it comes to the stage of perfection. And it pleased God. So these three feasts, alright, not this one, these three feasts. And the Bible always says they are offering of sweet smelling or sweet savor, we'll say. Is this correct spelling? Huh? Alright, a sweet smelling savor to God. God found, pleasing. One who is willing to offer himself, as a burnt offering, because to please God, to be in the will of God, and to have peace offering, one who is willing to make peace, so that we can all have peace with God. Make a way. So if you are one who also make burnt offering of your life and peace offering to reconcile with others, that's what something God smells wonderful from your life. And if your life is a meal offering, because you show that you have been through a lot of trial, temptation, and know how to conduct yourself, feel of love of Christ in you. That's what all this is. Okay. So right now let's continue with the verses. Alright. The other thing, okay. Let's go to verse 13. Sorry, verse 12. Verse 12, you have a lamb, okay, for the burnt offering. And then verse 13, you have 2 ten deal of fine flour. 2 ten is 2 portion. What does it mean here? I would say that God give his life for you. It says it's mingled with oil. Huh? Mingled with oil. Okay. So, the Bible says when you give unto God something, he'll double his blessing on you. Okay, and I believe that it represents Jesus Christ, who was anointed with the Spirit of God, okay, and he was so anointed that he was able to take off the same field of the harvest, or the harvest, all those grain that belongs to him. So, we are a part of the body of Christ. Christ is one, the bride is another. To be able to have this anointing together between husband and wife. Another thing is also to say that in what God is doing, of having 2 ten, it applies also to 2 people, the Jew and the Gentiles. In this world there are only 2 kinds of people. Some say there are 3. Okay, because of Samaritan, because they are mixed. Huh? Okay, but that also depends, because if a Jew married a Gentile and give birth to a child, there still be a Jew, right? And a Gentile married a Jewish wife, then the children is still a Gentile. Okay, the only thing is that middle portion, we always call that Samaritan. So there are always the 2 portions. And also that is that we have the Old Testament, New Testament. All this represents something of that sort. Okay, but this is the only place where you have the 2 ten deal. And it says, burn by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering. There is this drink offering. What is this drink offering? Now, drink offering. Okay. Drink offering. Drink offering is usually of wine. And what do they do with drink offering? The lamb is burnt on the altar, the he lamb. Okay. The Lord of Pharaoh is burnt on the altar. So what happened to this drink offering? The drink offering is poured out upon the altar. You understand? So it's the same thing with King David. Do you remember King David? How that he longed for the water of Jerusalem. And so the man went out there and took for him. They risked their life for that. And so what did he do? He poured it on the ground. Also the same with Jacob. You know, Jacob is quite a rascal, huh? Okay? Of course, with the help of mother. You know, got the birthright from Isaac. And then he was sort of a friend of Esau. You know, because he stole the birthright. And later on, through all his life, he's always conniving, supplanting, even come up with all the plan and deceived Laman. And so what happened? Do all those tricks to take the extra sheep from his flock. Alright. So, you know, he's been through all these things and God don't like that. And you know, Jacob had no peace. He kept on running here and running there, running from his brother Esau and also from his father-in-law. Father-in-law. You know, and God, you know, God told him, go back to battle. Go back to battle where you first met me. Go back there. So when finally he went back there and wrestled with the angel and all that, then he realized something. And God said, now your name is no longer Jacob. I'll change your name to Israel. And then you know what? He built an altar. And then he poured a drink offering. That means to say, I am at my wit's end. I'm willing to just let go. You know? I'm time to go. Die to myself. That's what same thing with Paul. You know? So just let go. And when Jacob poured the drink offering, he finally find joy. Because he was running away from the Lord and all this. So it was joy to surrender yourself to the Lord and come to that place. So a drink offering, joy. That's why when we come to the communion, and what do we see in the book of Revelation chapter 5, I think, where it says, but hurt not the wine and the wine and the oil. And when Jesus took the cup on the communion, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the wine. What does that represent? It represents, we said, that wine is stimulation. It's joy. Eh? That's why sometimes people get drunk and they go crazy joy. And that is a very bad joy. They don't know what they are joy rejoicing. But when you know, when you drink a little wine, sometimes you have a conversation, you feel enlightened, you know, a little woozy up here, but you still rejoice, not get drunk. You see? So wine is a stimulation, it's a joy. So that's why drink offering usually are wine. Sometimes they have water offered up like King David. Do you understand? Okay? Alright, so now, let us go to verse 14 now. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. So that's what you must do first, huh? It shall be a statute for you forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And you shall come from the morrow after the Sabbath. The morrow after the Sabbath, from that you brought the sheep of the wave offering. Sabbath shall be complete. Remember? Come tomorrow after the Sabbath on the 16th of Nisan. Nisan. He calls 49 days or 7th. And you come to the 4th of Sivan. And then the 5th of Sivan is Pentecost. And he says here in verse 16, even after the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. It's a new one, not an old one. Something new, it's a change of order. What is 50? Now, in the Greek, that's on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, right? It's the 50th day. So the 50th in the Greek word is Pentecostal. That's how we get Pentecostal people. Pentecostal. Okay. And it says, let's go on. Verse 17, and you shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2 10 deals. There shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. Ah, what did you see there? Come on. Leaven. Now, the first one that you have, the 2 10 deals of fine flour mixed with mingled with oil. No leavening. No leavening should be found in your house, in your dwelling place for 7 days. But Pentecost, a new meal offering. This is a new one now. And this one is that you have 2 10 deals, still 2 10. Still speak of 2 people. Huh? But mingle, mixed with what? Leaven. What is leaven? Ah, come on. What is leaven? Ah. What is leavening? What is leaven? Leaven, some people say leaven is yeast. Yeast. Leaven is yeast. Okay. Leaven is yeast. Are yeast good or bad? Of course, there are good yeast and good bad yeast. And that's what people are trying to say. Well, I find it very funny how in the Bible didn't talk about good yeast or bad yeast, good leaven or bad leaven. The word leaven has spoiled, the Bible is concerned. It means something corrupt. It doesn't say good corruption or bad corruption. Is there any good corruption? Yeah, you know, that's funny because they say good yeast. I know there's good bacteria, bad bacteria, I know that. But as far as the Bible is concerned, use the word leavening. It's never anything good. But somebody, I mean, several preachers I know, you know, they were trying to find a reason. What is this leaven for? It means good leavening. How can it be good leaven? And they are saying that on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to leaven the believer. So, okay, that he trying to make some sense. And you know how he said that the Holy Spirit come to leaven? Because why? He went and take this verse. They went and tried to justify. Let's go to Matthew. Put your hand on that, on this page. But let's go to Matthew chapter 13. You probably know this part here. Verse 33. Okay, Matthew 13, 33. It says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid it in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now they say here, you see, the kingdom of heaven, the church, is like unto the church, which the woman represents the church, of course, and take leaven to put on 3 measures of meal. So the meal means the people. Now, that's not what the Bible says. I mean, they try to use this. But the kingdom of heaven means the space of 2,000 years. There's a kingdom of heaven. And talk about the woman in the church, what church is that? It's a Catholic church. And she took leaven and put in 3 measures. I mean, why 3? What is this 3? Come on, how many of you remember? What is those 3 measures of meal? Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism. How did they change these 3? They leavened this doctrine into 3. What is that justification? It means faith. Not in the Lord Jesus, faith in the Catholic Church. If you leave the Catholic Church, you're going to hell. How many of you are ex-Catholic? You're ex-Catholic. You know that, right? You cannot leave the Mother Church, right? There's no salvation outside the Mother Church, right? See? So justification is not by faith in Christ Jesus, it's by faith in the Catholic Church. So what they've done to the sanctification? What did they do to... How did they leaven sanctification? Your indulgence. We're supposed to live in a sanctified life. The Holy Spirit did those work, right? But what did they do? So no, you've got to go to the confession box, go to buy indulgence. Remember? Yeah. You want to be sanctified? That's the way you go to the confession box and call the Father behind the box. And he'll say, do this, say this prayer, or do this. What about Holy Ghost baptism? What did they change them to? How did they leaven that doctrine? Ah, it's confirmation. Confirmation by the Catholic Church. So now you are a saint. Anybody how they recently they were trying to make somebody a saint, you know, I can't remember who they couldn't make. Was it Mother Teresa or something? Huh? And it's always been said that there's no saint, no good saint except a dead saint in the Catholic Church. And you know what? There is no good saint in the Church of God, the true church, unless it's a living saint. Because a dead saint cannot do anything anymore, cannot live the life, it must be a good saint. And the Bible calls us saint. Living saint, not dead saint. Huh? The Bible says those that are dead, they are dead in Christ, right? That's all death. But it's a living saint that is important. So, let's go back. Let's go back to Leviticus. So here's a new meal offering. And what we have, what is this new meal offering? Okay, this leaven is a thing. Out of your habitation, two wave loaves of two tandil, they shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. That's it, they are the first fruit. Now, watch. It says two tandil of fine flour mixed with leaven. Leaven speaks of what? Corruption, right? It speaks of corruption. Alright. So here we have two amounts of dough. Alright. Five flour dough. So you put leaven into it. What happened? What happened to the dough? Corrupt. Once it's there mixed already, you cannot extract the leaven out. Correct? And what did the Bible say here? After you mix it with leaven, what do you do to it? What do you say here? What does the Bible say here? It says, bake. Not. And nothing leaven ever was offered to God on the altar. Do you understand? You don't put anything that is leaven on the altar. You cannot come to God and give your life to God leaven. God wants you to take it out. That's what the Bible says in Corinthians. Punch it out. So, what happened? They are to be baked with leaven. Bake, not offer on the altar. That shows that we, those two represents the Old Testament of the Jew and the Gentile. They are to be wed before the Lord. Okay? They are not to be put on the altar and burned. And they are from the first fruit, the grains, the fine flour, they came from the first fruit. Remember? Don't remember? Okay. From the same field. Because why? We are the people that have that we are sinners, we are all leaven. Got it? Huh? And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. To do what? Why is it bake? Bake is heat under pressure. The Bible, what did Jesus have told, what did he tell the disciples? So tarry in Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. Until you be endured with power from on high. When you say endure with power from on high, what is the power? The power that comes to clean you, to deal with you, to sanctify you. Now, even though you are Christian right now, there are still that leavening life that is there. That is why Paul said, let us keep the feast. Okay, let us go back to 1 Corinthians 5. Right? Turn to your Bible and I want you to look at it so you will remember. 1 Corinthians 5. Alright? Chapter 5, verse 8. Oh, verse 7. Read from verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened. For even Jesus Christ Passover is sacrificed for you. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay? Purge out your old lamb. Purge out your old leaven. That you may be a new lamb. Why? Because you are supposed to be unleavened. We are a new creature. But the leaven is still there. And that's what we're going to purge it out. How do we do it? Keep the feast. That means eat the word of God. Remember Christ there. Take the word of God. Not with the old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Don't have all that old nature of leavening. Feeling all these hatreds and unkindness and frustrations and whatever it is that you are. Okay, but come and approach with sincerity and truth and approach the word of God truly. They say, Lord, I'm weak. I have this problem. Help me. We're not all perfect. People say, I know that we all know what the Bible says, that a child of God doesn't sin. That's why we put the word of God. A child of God do not sin. Oh no, sorry. The sinner don't sin. The sinner sin because that's the way they are. But a Christian sin, correct? That is true. Are we supposed to be a Christian, yet we sin? Why? But a sinner, they don't sin because they are already sinner. They, you know, they're no longer sinner, but we are supposed to be saints. We are saints. So, saints sin, sinner don't sin. Sinners are so saintly that they don't realize that they are sinning all the time. That's what they are. So, let's put it that way. So, a saint will sin. Why? Because of that leaven. And the only way to keep that all malice and wickedness away is to approach the Word of God with sincerity and truth. Do you see? Not just to put away all leaven part, but also we must come to the part that is of sincerity and truth. It's not good enough to say, okay, I put away my leaven already. And then you don't want the Word of God. You don't want to come to learn the Word of God. You don't want to come to worship God, fellowship with God. Because you just say, okay, I'm okay, I'm saved. And the other part is that, well, okay, I learned the Word of God. But then your life is still rotten. Something is wrong with you. You are supposed to be a new creation. Am I not right? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. What spirit is that? Is it the third person of God? What spirit is that? The Holy Spirit came. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of Christ Himself. And so the Spirit of God comes in, what did Paul say? That's why he said, the reason why Christ gives you the Spirit because He loves you. And Paul said, you know how that we should love our wife because Jesus Christ loves her, we are His wife, we are His bride. No man had his own body. The Lord Jesus Christ came to His bride, His body. Do you see? So let us be unleavened. Let us purge away all that leaven. And take the word of God with sincerity and truth. Okay. This is way before the Lord. And you shall offer within... Verse 17. Let us go to the last part. There are the first fruit unto the Lord. Because the grain, the fine flour, is made from the grain of the harvest of the first fruit. Huh? From the same field, and they are the first fruit. And Christ is the first fruit, so are you and me. We are all first fruit in the same field. Okay. Verse 17, and you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish. Well, that's a lot of animals, huh? Seven means what? Perfection. Seven lamb without blemish of the first year and one young bullock. Okay. and two rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. So with the two loaves of leaven that is well before the Lord, but not offered on the altar. You understand? Leaven cannot be offered up on the altar. That is to be brought before the Lord and weighed. Okay? Because you are the first fruit of the Lord. Because Christ came to take the salvation to the Jew, salvation to the Gentile. They are to be offered to the Lord. That's why Paul came to realize this revelation, this mystery that was given to him. That God has broken down the wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. So who is the children of Abraham? Who are the real Jew? The one that is circumcised in the foreskin, or the one who is circumcised in the heart? Huh? That you must understand. Natural Israel is circumcised in the foreskin. But these are not counted for children until they are circumcised in the heart. Remember. But because we have Abraham as our father, therefore you are a real Jew? Really circumcised? No. That's not the Holy Spirit or their Pentecost to circumcise the heart. Men and brethren, what must we do? Remember Peter preached that, and then they cried, what must we do to be saved? And Jesus Christ says, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So with that two loaves that was well before the Lord, then this other sacrifice the children were told to offer these seven lambs, one young bullock, two rams for the burnt offering, also the meal offering, also a drink offering to be offered up to God. And then that shows God is happy to come down on Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. You know, to show the people, the offering is perfect. My son who has given his life for you is perfect. All that joy that God has. And God shall enjoy in heaven having a sweet smelling savour, pleasing to the Lord because of what Christ has done. You know. Okay? And it goes right on to the next one. Verse 19. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goat for the sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for the sacrifice of peace offering. Yeah, all this go along with it, you know. Burnt offering, peace offering, meal offering. God just wanted that. So when people, when the children of Israel offered up this, they see the offering being burnt up and the smoke rises up into heaven. You know. And they know that God was pleased. But apparently, of course, when they did all that, they didn't realize, don't see what those offerings will fall in reality of the fulfillment of Christ and the church, because that is the 50th day. Alright? And verse 20. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit for the wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs, and they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Yes, even the two loaves that was waved before the Lord, and with the lamb that was burnt. Yes, God was pleased. That because what Christ had done, we who are the bread that are leavened, okay, can now eat unleavened bread. Can now have the life of the Spirit of God. And you shall proclaim on the self same day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. That's a Pentecost, huh? It's all. Also it's a Sabbath. And ye shall do no Sabbath work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generation. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make them clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. That's Pentecost. After Pentecost is over, God said this. When you harvest your field, don't go and, the corner of the field, field is usually in the more or less a square shape or block shape, whatever. The corner of it, don't go say, hey, there go somewhere, you cut all the little bit of, you know what I mean? And don't glean all the field and take everything. Leave some for the poor. And that's why we have the intervals. God is still gathering people out there. Huh? The poor in spirit, the poor without truth. You know you're rich in God. Are you not rich in God? How much you want? It's not about money. It's all about what? It's all about the spirit, the wealth, and the health of God, the joy of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. Alright, let's go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord in one place. So that's when the Holy Spirit came down. That's the feast of Pentecost being fulfilled on that day. Okay, now we go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is not a Jew nor Greek. There is not a born nor free. There is not a male nor female. For we are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down to give you that life, whether you are male or female, whether you are born or free, whether you are Jew or Gentile. And that's what the two loaves that are mixed with leaven signify. That is way before the Lord and Pentecost. Is that right? And when the Pentecost, on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, what's so special about that day? Because when we see in that feast that we read over in Leviticus, you have sacrifice, a burnt offering, seven lambs, one bullock, two rams, and so on. What is all that burning, all this joy? So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples, what happened? There were lights on their head, lids of lights on their head, right? And they were speaking unknown tongue, and there was such a rejoicing. And the whole of Jerusalem on that particular day, there was so much talk about this wonderment. Do you see what I'm talking about? It was such a joy to the Lord that the Lord poured His Spirit upon these disciples. Well, what happened to the other disciples? Well, wherever they are in their dwelling place, they probably also received the Holy Spirit on that particular day. And people heard the gospel preached in their own tongues. They wondered what was going on. So it was a great day. How many people were saved on that day? 3,000. Was it not? 3,000, was it not 3,000 that were saved in that day? I believe it was 3,000. So there's a whole lot of people. They're all convicted to their heart. Those from Persia, from Mesopotamia, from the Arabic country, wherever they're from Greece, from Cyprus, Persia. So there was such a joy on that day. Okay? So that's what Paul was just mentioning here. That was a great day for them. Okay. Let's continue a little bit more and then we all close on that. Alright? So remember, this feast again, there are three feasts that the children of Israel must gather themselves together every year. Let's go back. Okay, Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all males. But fortunately for you sisters, you don't have to. So only all males. So all males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread. That's number one. In the feast of the weeks. That's what? Pentecost. Because there are 7 weeks. And then come Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacle. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. 3 times a year, of the 7 feasts, all the male must appear before God in these 3 feasts. They must not fail. Right? Unleavened bread. Okay? Pentecost. And tabernacle. And tabernacle is yet to come. And it will be a great day for them when they rejoice, and all the men will rejoice. So, let us remember that. Okay, now again, we already see that this is the particular number that, let me just put it here. We have, what do you read in the Bible? Called the day after the morrow, after the Sabbath. On the 16th countdown, 7 Sabbath will pass. And then it will come to the 4th of Sivan. And the 5th of Sivan is Pentecost. So we have 7 times 7. That is 49. And then after that, the 50th day is Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit comes down. Now, when we look at this number, because God play with numbers. I don't mean total. Alright. God have numerology. He have numerics in the scripture. So, you know what the number has. It has significance. So what is 7 times 7? Already you have 7 in the perfection, right? But here is 7 times 7. You have 2. Means it magnifies. And then you get 49. But 49 is the sum is 13, isn't it? Is that right? Huh? So it's 13. 13 is the number that means that always tells us of what? Sin, rebellion, okay, etc., etc., all that which is bad, because it's tied to Satan. Now, God fulfilled those, the first 3 feasts, to arrive to the 50th day, when he said that you have a new meal offering, right? Remember? Remember your new meal offering? Okay, because now there is a new order. That's why it's Pentecost comes to bring in new order. The old one is passed away. That's why in the Pentecost, when it's your church started, what happened? It didn't start with the all order of prophets. Because you know, there's no apostle in the Old Testament. Remember this. So in the New Testament, the new order, something must change. This is something that few people actually recognize. Why? You find that the church was established not by prophets, but by apostles. But we know that the church of God, which is symbolized by the pyramid, is that right? By the pyramid, you know, it's a square. Okay, let's look at the square. And the Bible said that it's 4 squares, and it has 12 foundations. And how many gates? 12 gates. The gates are the entering and the going out. The gate represents what? Represents what? The dominion or the authority where the civil people come together, huh, to deal with laws and legal rights and anything. Buying and selling is always around the gate of the city. Okay, so the gate represents the 12 patriarchs. Because it is the oracles of God that came into or through the gates. Alright? Into the city to bring in the oracles of God. Then the oracles that comes into the holy city must, the truth must be laid down on foundation. And that's why we have the foundation through stone, 12 foundation that are side by side with the gates. Okay, you all know that. How many gates know? If you look at, oh, well, let me just go and see. You have 4 square. That's one little stone here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. What about the other? There's supposed to be another 8. Where did they go? Here 2. Here 2. I mean, 2 here. Right? You understand? Is that 12? Huh? Oh, sorry. Okay, there are 12. Okay, so what about the gates? That's 1 gate, 2 gate, 3 gate. Their foundation are within the gate. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So it's 12. 12 foundation stone and 12 gates. That's why the apostle and the prophet are always together in the New Testament, mentioned in that form. Do you understand? So Pentecost, when Pentecost, you see, we have 13. You have 7 times 7, 49, the sum is 13. So God has to close up this hour and bring in the new, the 50th. The 50th already told you the day after 49, is the 50th is also a Sabbath. Remember? So everything is new here. The rest is no longer 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. The new is what? If 50th is a Sabbath. If of the 7 here is 7, right? Remember 7? 7 times 7, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 periods. So you have 7. Now this is 8. 8 represents a new form. Resurrection, new life, new order, everything new. Do you understand that? Huh? Okay? So at least now you understand that. Now let's go to one more verse and we're closing this. Leviticus 6:23, sorry. Let's go back to Leviticus 23. Right, let me just touch on this portion so that you remember. Leviticus 23, verse 16 and 17. Alright. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be numbered 50th day, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tendils, they shall be of 5 flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. Okay, now go back to Leviticus chapter 2 verse 11. So that you will remember this verse. Just want to bring it out to your attention. Alright, chapter 2 verse 11. No meal offerings which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be mixed with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. So always remember that. You cannot offer your life and say that, oh, I have a burnt offering to the Lord with all my sins and everything I confess. You can't do that. Because when you offer a burnt offering on your altar, that means you must actually surrender. Fully. You cannot come to the Lord without true repentance and offer yourself to Him to be accepted by Him. He can't accept anything. That's why you need to first of all repent. Okay? Once you repent and you clean up your cleansed, then you can offer yourself as a burnt offering. Because you are clean, so to speak. As Paul said, you are no longer old lumps. You're a new lump. See, don't come to God with your old leaven. See? Okay? Now we go to James chapter 1. Remember we said about this on this day of Pentecost when these 2 wave loaves of leavened bread being offered to the Lord in wave offering? James chapter 1 verse 18.
All right. Here it's talking about Jesus.
Of his own will of God, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. That flower was from the first, from the harvest field of the first fruit. Okay? All right. Because it was mixed with love, and showed that God has predestined us before the foundation of the world that we are part of that first fruit. Okay? Begat us. Oh, Hebrews chapter 2. Alright. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church where I sing praises unto you, and again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, he himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So what then? Remember what he said in verse 11? He that sanctified. Remember, when they enter into the land of promise, what is the first thing they do? God told them, you don't need anything until you offer me and wave before me the first fruit, the sheep. So they took the first sheep away before the Lord. That represents Christ. Okay, the first sheep has to be way before the Lord, because he was the first one born among many brethren. The first from among the dead in the church. He's the head, we are the body. Okay, so he that sanctified from that field, the first harvest, when they went and take the first fruit, what he says, he that sanctified, and there they are sanctified, all are of one. From one field. The soul went for the soul. He sowed in his own field. Christ do not sow in anybody else's field. Remember, we are, Christ did not talk about an angel, you know. What I hear some religion, even I think the Muslims say that it's not religious that die, somebody else that died for him, right? You see. But the one who sanctified, who sanctified, and we who are sanctified, we all belong to the same field. Because why? We are from the same harvest field. We are all sons and daughters of the living God. Christ is the firstborn of God, the only begotten Son of God. So both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. After all, the soul went for the soul and all in the same field. The first thought that is way before the Lord, the second one must be the same. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the first resurrection from among the dead. There must be a second, all in his own order. All come up, harvest from the field, one by one. All being harvested and taken up. Amen? Alright, God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. Thank you for that word, Lord, as it steady continue to deal with our life, Father. We do not want to hear the word of God just through a ear and out the other. We want to hear with both ears, O Father, and with an open heart, that the word will sink deep into our heart and take root. And when it does, Father, Lord, we grow in thy grace. We should grow maturely, O Lord, and be able to stand in the hour of needs. In the hour when there is a ferocity, O Father, persecutions or conflict, Lord, and the sins of the world come against us, or wherever and however, Lord, Satan and his evil hold would do, you know, to try to destroy our life or try to tear away the church of the living God. We know, Father, he has but a short time and he will do anything. So, but with thy word that we have received from you, and that we are well fed and strengthened, Lord, in our life, we examine ourselves before you, and knowing that what Jesus Christ has done for us, been true as a burnt offering, and as a peace offering, as a burnt offering, to the stage where he fully gave up his spirit upon Calvary, and a life that pleases you, Father. So with that life so perfected, came upon us the day that you came, O Father, to look for us, and you called us by our name, and you said, I give you my Holy Spirit, and I give you my life. And when you said that to us, and when we received your Spirit, Lord, and filled with thy power, Lord, that we should live that life of Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, Lord, that our life be worthy of the gospel. That truly, Lord, we bring glory and blessing, O Father, to thy name. That people will know that we are Christian, O Lord, by the life that we live. We ask, Lord, you strengthen us at this time, Lord, in this hour that we live in now. Give us grace, Lord, and we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.